Welcome to Prime Different.
Prime Different
starts now.
Welcome to another edition of Prime Different Podcast with your host Tech and with the little OG. What up, little OG?
What up, Tech?
And today, little OG, we got the privilege to interview Rob the Original. He's a homie out of San Antonio. He's a barber. He does all kinds of crazy shit with the clippers. I mean, you've seen some of the stuff you're seeing on the IG right now.
Dope, yeah. Even with the salt.
With the hair, everything. We got him on the line right now. Hey, what up, Rob?
What up? What's happening, man?
Hey, we're good up here in the Northwest, Rob. We're excited today to have you on Rhyme Different. We're trying to find out how is it that Rob the Original came about. We see all the cool portraits that you do on people's heads. I mean, the thing that you do with the salt, the thing what you do with the hair shavings. But we want to know how you started to do all this, where you come from. And that's what brings my first question. Who is Rob the Original?
Who is Rob?
Yeah.
Rob is a young boy coming from immigrant parents, coming from Mexico.
Yeah.
And that is passionate about art. You know, I love art since I was little. My parents didn't really... we didn't grow up with a lot of money, you can say, but we didn't know any better, so we were happily, you know what I mean, growing up. I had a lot of brothers and sisters, and growing up, I had to use my, creativity.
Yeah.
To build, you know, our own toys and to have fun outside in the outdoors, man. So, you know, it was. I had a great childhood, you know, and I wouldn't trade it for nothing else.
Yeah. How
and now...
Oh, sorry about that. I was going to say, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
It's 9 of us total. I'm the fifth child.
Is it fair to say it's an average Mexican family, Rob? No, because I come from our family's the same size, bro.
It's definitely most, you know, a lot of my homies growing up, because I grew up in California. I was born in Cali, so, you know, growing up over there, like, most of my homies were, you know, big family, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we always had, you know what I'm saying? It was always just the homies gathering up with their brothers. It was always already a gang of people, you know what I mean?
Yeah. How was a household growing up for you? You know, because you're hell of creative, you know what I'm saying? But I just kind of wanted to see, you know, how it was growing up, you know, how you saw it.
How I saw it? Yeah. Well, I always found, you know, doing creative stuff was always fun for me, you know. My dad was, he was a kid that he didn't have parents growing up, so he was also very creative.
Oh.
And we moved to Tijuana, Mexico, when I was a little kid, second grade, you know,
yeah.
When I was in second grade. So my dad bought this little shack house on top of a hill.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, he would work in the U.S., you know, as a truck driver. And he would, you know, cross the border every day.
Yeah.
And he built a house there in Tijuana, and we were his little helpers. So I learned to do a lot of that stuff, you know, how to mix concrete, how to, you know, build walls with rock and concrete.
Crazy.
Because over there, you live in a hill.
Yeah.
In a cerro, you know what I mean? You want to, you have to build bardas. Bardas is a concrete wall, you know?
Yeah. That's crazy right there.
Stone and stuff like that, so. We did that. It was also like a lot of toys. The kids in Mexico are very creative, man. Very creative. So you make toys out of like plastic bottles and balloons.
Yeah.
Most of the toys were weapons, by the way. But
swords, everything. Nah.
whatever you find on the street.
Like, build something to kill birds, you know?
Yeah. Oh, slingshots the whole nine or what?
Whatever you find on the street.
Like we did it. We would do just different shit, you know what I mean? Like, we would do also, like, out of a straw, a bobby pin, and rubber band, you know, we built, like arrows and stuff to stab, you know what I mean? Like,
with the rubber band or with the string? Did you use a rubber band as a string?
No, it's a rubber band. Yeah, it's two rubber bands. You use a rubber band to tie up the bobby pin to the straw.
Okay.
And then... you would sharpen the bobby pin. You like fold one edge of the bobby pin.
Oh, damn.
And then sharpen the other end to it. Yeah, and you tie a straw to it, and then you use another rubber band with your thumb and your index finger.
Yeah.
And you're able to shoot, you know what I mean? Like, so we did that, stuff like that.
Yeah.
We also build a lot of, because we live in the hill, we would build, like, you know, try to build, like, little cars made out of wood, like, where we actually sat in them.
Yeah.
And we would try to build, like, you know, experiment with, you know, building brakes and on the hill, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and if your bicycle didn't have brakes, if your bike didn't have brakes, you put your shoe on the tire, and that was how you brake, you know?
I went through a couple pair of shoes doing the same thing, man. You just got to make sure that your foot, you got to make sure that your foot didn't, like, completely go in the back tire, because they know you're falling off that bike and you're going to get mangled up by the street. That's
yeah,
crazy.
That's for sure, man. And I've seen a lot of shit, man. I've seen, we in the process, we ate it a lot, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We fell, scratches. I got all kinds of things. I got stories for days.
Hey, Rob, did you guys put a can on the back tire so it could sound like a motorcycle?
Oh, that was a popular one. Yeah,
yeah, for sure. So
you could just run right. You could just ride right over the can, and it just gets stuck on its own.
Yeah,
you know?
hell yeah, that's dope right there. So you grew up in the streets of Tijuana. Well, you know what I'm saying, in Tijuana and stuff. And your pops working, and you guys build
Tijuana.
A home, and when did you transition, or like, into like art, or you know what I'm saying? When did you start drawing?
Well, I've been drawing ever since I can remember. When I was you know, I was born in L.A. Lived in L.A. since I was 7, and I've always drawn since before I was in school. You know, I could draw. It was just a natural gift, I guess, that I had. And I remember when I went to first grade, because I didn't go to kinder. My parents didn't put me in kinder. They just waited till first grade.
Oh shit.
I remember the first day of school, they threw me out there, right? And at first I was a little scared because I didn't know the language. I was only spoken to in Spanish and at the house, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm in there, like, not understanding nobody, but I see everybody painting. And I don't know if they still do it in the schools, but back then they would have, like, milk cartons and they cut the tops off and fill them up with paint. You know what I mean? Like antique milk cartons.
So
they, and then I remember that they were just wanting us to, like, paint something for, I think it was Thanksgiving or Halloween, one of those two.
Yeah.
And whenever I started, I just did a painting of a little girl holding an umbrella with some pumpkins around.
Yeah.
But that little girl holding an umbrella, it's weird because I remember seeing, you know, the logo for the Morton salt.
Yeah.
Okay, so I painted something similar to that. So I kind of got inspired, I guess, by that, just by seeing a Morton salt at home. I don't know where I got the whole idea, but I ended up doing that. So I painted that painting, and I could tell that they loved my painting. You know, I didn't know, like, the language, but I could tell that they loved my painting.
Yeah.
But everybody was just talking about it, the teachers and everybody, you know. So they got so excited that they grabbed that painting, and they liked it so much they put it up and framed it in the lunch area, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they framed it.
And how did that make you feel at the time when that happened for you right there?
Well, I mean, it looked good. I didn't look good. It felt good because living in a family where there were so many kids, our parents were, like, always busy, so they didn't give us a lot of attention, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So when I would get that attention, it was, like, it felt good, you know what I mean? It was like, oh, they like something I did.
Yeah.
So it always pushed me to do more. And even at home, like, I remember I'll do, like, random drawings.
Yeah.
And then I show my parents, and then that was, like, the moment that they actually, like, noticed me, and they would, like, give me time. Like, oh, man, look what he drew, you know?
Yeah.
So they'll start looking at me like that, so then... It was like, I always like to impress my parents, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, it gave me attention, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was cool. Like, you know, I mean, this was Mexican parents, and it's crazy because me and my woman were just talking about that.
That's crazy.
Just talking about how parents raised us a certain way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where, like, you want to go somewhere, they didn't ask you, just, hey, right, get in the car, we're going to go to a party, but they never asked you, like, do you want to go to the party? You know, it's more like,
so what's it?
We're going, you know?
Yeah. And that's what me and another homie were having the conversation a few weeks back, the same thing that, you know, we were talking about, that the parents from, you know, they come from Mexico, so they only know it's the work hard, provide, and that's all you need, you know, a roof over your head. And aquí in the U.S. is different. It's like the roof, the food, that's already, like, mandatory. It's like aquí is push your kids, let them grow into becoming somebody or someone, you know what I'm saying? And
exactly, yeah.
And we were talking about how I told the homie, I mean, you can't blame your parents. You know, like all of us Mexicanos, we can't blame our parents for not being there at the Little League baseball games or pushing us to play Grid Kids football. You know, it's because to them, it was a roof over the head.
Yeah, and, just about survival.
And survival. Yeah, that's a little OG right there.
Right, yeah. It's exactly that, bro. It's exactly that. You know, I was a soccer. I like playing soccer, man. Yeah. I picked it up when I went to Tijuana. That was like a life over there, you know?
Dang.
So I came back over here, and I was playing soccer, you know, and teams and stuff. But outside of school, you know, because obviously I never made the score or the grades to be in the school team or whatever. But anyways, my parents not once ever went to go watch the game. But we understood. Like, we didn't expect them to show up. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
in the back of your mind, you probably wanted them to be there on the bleachers checking you out, no?
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah. I think that there was times that it would have been nice. Like, I remember my dad once, he took us to go buy all the cleats and all that stuff. That alone felt good, you know what I mean? Like, oh, my dad's doing something involving himself in what we're doing, because we were used to, you know, just give us the money, we'll go buy it. You know what I mean? Yeah. We were kids. We would travel across town in a bus. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no,
go buy our own shit.
I bet you a lot of parents wouldn't do that nowadays to their kids. Here, like, oh, go get you. Right now, we let them out to the sidewalk, and we're like scoping them out, make sure nothing happens to them. You know?
Yeah, no, for sure, man.
So,
I definitely am very overprotective of my kids too. But it's just, I think it's times also. You know what I mean? Like, the times are bad.
It changed.
Yeah, and so you doing all this, you would. When you had your downtime, is that when you just kind of started drawing more? When your parents started paying more attention, you started kind of pushing it? Or were you kind of like with the friends tagging on the streets or a graffiti guy?
Yeah, I definitely did tagging for sure a lot of years. I actually stopped drawing just to do tagging for a lot of years. I dropped interest in drawing. Like, it was more just like I wanted just to tag. Okay. So all I did is I was that one kid in high school that wasn't really in because over here in Cali, like, tagging crews was like a gang, you know what I mean? Tagging crews were old. They had been around for so long, you know what I mean? There was tagging crews that were around for, like, just as long as a gang.
Oh, shit.
So, which is tagging crews right underneath the gang, you know what I mean? Because people, when you're in, it was like you start in a tagging crew or different tagging crews, and then you just join in a big gang, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're kind of, like, doing the work for the big gang.
What was your
graffiti
name?
Well, I used to, you know what I mean, with the S at the end.
Okay.
Sometimes with a Z, you know.
Yeah, depending.
But I was a kid. Like I was gonna say, I was a kid that was basically doing all the names for everybody in school, because we would just rock a binder.
Okay.
And everybody has their name tagged out, like on the front. You know what I mean, of your binder. Yeah. You know how I had the plastic.
Yeah.
Slide in your drawings on there.
Yeah.
So I was a kid that was always drawing in class, you know what I mean? So I never did good academically, to be honest with you, man. My junior and senior year, I had to take, you know, night school and day school to catch up on credits, and, you know, and my parents, like, moved a lot, so that also affected us a lot, you know what I mean? That we move a lot, you know?
And were you hustling? Were you hustling kind of like when you were tagging the people's name? Were you charging them? Were you doing any like that type of stuff back in school?
What I would do, because I mean, I always had a big heart, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay,
so I never really, like, I didn't look at things like to be like more, I did, but it was more like, hey, you give me something, I give you something. Oh. So what I would do, I would get people to give me like decals, you know what I mean? Like markers?
Yeah.
The tagging markers called decals, and they were expensive, and I couldn't afford them. So, like, I had people like, yo, bring me some decals, and I'll write your name. You know what I mean? Or do it like that. Or, like, yo, give me some kicks, you know what I mean? And I'll draw some for you. So I would do, like, swaps, you could say.
Dope. That's creative in itself right there, bro. Trust me.
That right there, you know, I always had markers. I always had tagging markers. You know what I mean? I always had, like, different shit because I would swap with people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then, you know, later on when I started cutting hair when I was 16, I was just doing it, you know, cutting my own hair, because since we didn't have allowance or anything like that, I was a man, I would keep a tight fade, so I started fading my own hair. But I never saw it as business either. And I had homies in school, like, asking, like, yo, your favorite dope, like, who did that? And all the time it was me. And they'll be like, nah, man, I didn't, you didn't do that. I was like, all right, man. I mean, like, yo tampoco, I wasn't presumido, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, no,
like,
all
right, yeah. I wouldn't even argue with them. All right, cool, you don't believe me, that's fine. You know? I never saw myself as a barber or trying to be a barber, nothing like that. Like, it was just more, I just faded my life. And I did it for many years, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, cutting hair, like, besides, like, I mean, barbering, all that came along later on in the future. Like, that kind of just, it's kind of how life, like, it just, you know, like they say, barbering found you, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It found me, man. I'll tell you that. It definitely found me.
And, you know, after you start, you know, doing your own hair and you're doing all this, when do you decide kind of like to step it up? Because, you know what I'm saying? Even just not too forward to what you're doing now, but, I mean, that had to start somewhere, you know what I'm saying? To, for you to, like, say,
right,
okay,
right,
I'm not going to settle for just regular haircuts type of deal, you know?
Right, right. Well, I mean, what happened is, I was just doing number one on top, like a number two with the fade, you know?
Yeah.
It was, like, real short, so, you know, I would do my primos, and every time I wanted to do a haircut, I didn't know how to, like, use the tools. Like, I didn't know, like, the cape, the dust. I didn't know none of that. I was, you know what I'm saying? I would just cut hair with a towel on you, and I didn't even know how to dust people off or nothing like that. It was just all full of hair, your face full of hair, your arms, everything. But anyways, I would do cut, like, my brothers, my primos, some homies. But I wouldn't do it all the time. It was just once in a while when they came around. They knew I knew how to fade my hair, so they'd be like, yo, cut my hair too. But it was never as business. So, you know, when I was a senior in high school, my parents, they moved to Texas because, you know, I had a tia over here that I moved since the early 90s.
Okay.
And they're like, hey, you can buy a house over there for cheap. We used to live in apartments. So, you know, in my apartments, I was living there for over 6 years. So, you know, I grew up with people there, man.
Oh,
like,
I see.
That was my junior high and high school years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So then also I had my PO in the Bay, and I also lived in the Bay before, you know, in San Jose. So I was like, okay, well, my deal over there, and I didn't want to move out of Cali. So I told my parents, like, you know what, I'm just going to move my deal while you guys go to Texas and finish my high school and shit. So I moved up there, you know, and I finished high school, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I kind of missed my parents. I lived in this house with my deal, and he was always traveling. And my uncle had money, so that's when I got a taste of what it was to see, you know, people, like, living in a big house. I got a taste of living there. But either way, even though that I was living there with my tío, like, none of that shit was mine, you know? And I knew that I was used to living in the hood to moving into this house. It felt empty because I didn't have homies and shit. Like, I didn't have my brothers.
You
kind of
felt,
in a way,
did you feel out of place, even though you're with family, but you're
I felt like out of place. It was out of place.
Yeah.
Crazy. But I was, at the time, you know, those were still my pothead years, so what I would do, I would just get out of the house. I would smoke. Well, I mean, it wasn't like my prime pothead years, but it was like when I was, I had been smoking already for some years, you know what I mean? So what I would do is I would just walk out to the park and smoke and coast, you know what I mean? Yeah. Do a lot of thinking, that's for sure.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
And what age is this?
Go up on the roof.
What age is, are we talking about, like, you know what I'm saying, for you right there?
It was rough because...
No, I'm talking your age at that time because a lot of teenagers kind of go
16, 17.
See,
16,
that's
17 years old.
Yeah, that's the age where you see a lot of the younger teenagers now do the same thing, you know what I'm saying? Because I went through the same thing, Rob. That's why you said it just kind of like rang a bell in my head, like, you know, you go because you're not a little kid, but you're not full grown, and you're trying to find that road, like, hey, what do I do from now? But that's crazy that you said that you found yourself on that, you know, fork of the road right there at that time.
Yeah. So what I would do, I would spend a lot of time alone, man. Like, I like my privacy in those years. I would go smoke by myself to the park. I would at night when everybody was asleep, I'd go on top of the roof, you know what I mean, and smoke and just kind of think, you know what I mean, like, damn, what I got to go up with my life. And then it was just like, there was a lot of thinking, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was a lot of thinking. And at the same time, like, I would, like, think about, like, growing up, and I'm like, damn, man, like, I had a rough life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because my dad, he always provided for us, but he was an alcoholic, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we saw that growing up all the time. Yeah. Every other month or every 6 months, my dad would get wasted, but my dad would get wasted for like 3-4 weeks.
Dang.
And won't leave the house for like a month, just his room. So we come from school, my dad's drunk in the room, you know what I mean? And my homies will come by to play like Super Nintendo or Nintendo 64 or whatever. Yeah. And then it'll be like, they see my dad come out drunk out of the room and it stinks, you know what I mean? Because he wouldn't shower or nothing. So it was like, my homies already knew what's up, though. They're like, oh, your dad's drunk again, huh?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, he's drunk again, you know? But my dad was a good dad, though. No, I'm not trying to diss
my
family, you know what I'm saying?
No, but that's the thing that a lot of people don't understand, that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I say, I don't know your dad, but he's a Mexican homie. My dad's Mexican and all that, and we have deals and all that. That sometimes, you know, these guys work hella hard
to
be able to provide, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes do they feel like they failed you guys, you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, my dad, you know, when we were younger, he used to fucking drink a lot, you know what I'm saying? He used to work and the same thing you're kind of describing, you know what I'm saying? And that's the, and llegando fighting with the jefa, and you're like, fuck, as a little kid, all you do, what is there? Just fucking look, cry, you can't do shit, you know what I'm saying? And you see it every other weekend, and it's like, and sometimes I always wondered if in their eyes, you know, they saw themselves as they failed the fam, you know what I'm saying? Because they can't provide more, you know what I'm saying? And then, like...
Yeah, nah, it is. It is that, man. It is that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my dad, like I said, he had a rough life because, you know, he, growing up, like, he didn't have parents. He was abandoned by his mom, and his dad was murdered. So then, you know what I mean? In Durango, in Sinaloa, Mexico, that's where my dad grew up. So then it was just, he had a rough life. He, you know what I mean? He migrated to the U.S. as a teenager, you know, and started working in the fields, you know what I mean? And picking and stuff. And then later on, he got a better job. And, you know, he worked
and
his
he
way
probably
up.
Came out of time. Hey, Rob, he probably came at a time where Mexicans were not really welcome. You know what I'm saying? Because my jefito, he tells me that, you know, people, gabachos used to, you know, the white people used to run them out like, hey, get out of here. I'm going to call the immigration. And my daddy said he was like young, 18, 17, también. And he goes, I didn't understand what they were saying. He goes, but when they say la migra, you know, I just take off because, you know.
Yeah.
But that's crazy that, you know, all this is going on, you know, and you're seeing that and you find a way to, you know, find a positive and everything that's going at home. That's crazy.
Yeah, definitely, man. Like, at home, you know what I'm saying? We would struggle, man. It was like we would have, like, you know, 1 gallon of milk for everybody, you know what I'm saying? We would have, I mean, all our clothes was from yard sales and from Goodwill and hand-me-downs, you know what I'm saying? I had random-ass shirts that I didn't even care for what the drawing was on the shirt. I would just wear it because my brother gave it to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's crazy.
And we started hustling, though. Since I was young, I started hustling. Like, now that you talk about, like, you know how you mentioned it right now when you're saying school, if I hustle, like drawings and that.
Yeah.
I didn't hustle that. I didn't because I felt like when people like what I was doing. So, you know, I did it, and I just like people's faces, like, when they see it. Like, they, you know, so I just do swaps and stuff. But we did hustle, though. Like, when I was a kid, me and my mom used to, we worked in the fields for a little bit, you know, in San Jose, where there was their Chacanos. Because when I was a little kid from Tijuana, we moved to the Bay Area. So I went to school in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
I went up this sixth grade in the Bay.
Yeah.
And the whole summertime, you know, right after sixth grade, was it sixth grade? After sixth grade, the summertime, I worked in the field with my mom, and I bought me my first feelers with that, you know what I mean, with that money that I worked on the summer. You know, we used to cut like that. Yeah, but it was a lot of work, man. We used to get up at 4 a.m, like, and be there early as hell, you know?
And then
I threw my mom, like, to me, it was a reward to get a large French fry from McDonald's and to get a, because I used to love them with the salt, like the salty McDonald's large fries.
Yeah.
And then to get like a filet of fish, you know what I mean? Like I was like, like, I'm eating good.
Yeah.
And my mom would be like, don't even your brothers up about this shit, you know what I mean?
You know what, Rob? Like, it's crazy you say that, because that's the same thing. Aneth, and I don't just say, you know, God is my will right there, man. It's like, we used to go también and the same thing, like, hey, we brought you here. No le vas a decir a tus hermanos. And it's, I mean, there's 10 of us too, bro. It's like, it's crazy. Everything you're speaking is like, it's crazy.
It's true, man. And my dad, my papa, he was like, Like, if you're going to bring something, you bring it for everybody. He always said that. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's why we never ate out. We never ate out because it was expensive. We ate out, like, it was Whoppers, you know what I mean? Dollar Whoppers. Or it was the two tacos for 99 from Jack in the Box, you know what I mean? That was our eating out.
That's crazy.
It was rare that you catch out eating out. Like, never, bro. My mom always cooks for us at home, you know?
That's dope. Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead.
That's why I'm not a materialistic person, man. Like now, like like some people when they meet me, you know, they might see me as, oh, this is Rob, the original. He's like, you know, like they might see me as I'm a big shot or whatever. Yeah. And some people see me as an inspiration, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And for what I'm doing,
yeah.
You know. But at the end of the day, though, like me, I know all of this can end from one day to another, and I just appreciate everything that God's given me, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna sit there and be. Thinking that I'm better than anybody else, you know what I mean?
No,
humble, not because I choose to be humble. I'm humble because of the way I grew up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that's true. And I'm going to take it back a little bit. When you were in Frisco, at the time when you were leaving Choco, were you still getting more into doing barber stuff? Were you, your tagging, was it getting better? Or you were just kind of like on pause mode while you were out there?
No. Yeah, I was, you know, my fading technique, everything was getting better. You know, I started, you know, getting better at that, but it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't something that I was looking to be, you know what I mean? I was trying to be a barber and all that. But, yeah, it was just basically my tagging and everything, you know, my skills were pretty on point.
Yeah.
But when I moved to, so then summertime came, you know, 12th grade ended, and I missed my family, you know, and I was, like, kind of depressed and shit. I was like, man, like, I miss this. I'm here by myself in this big-ass house, you know what I mean? And my deal was always gone. So, you know, I was like, you know what, like, I'm just going to go and visit my family in San Antonio.
Yeah.
So, you know, I came over here with some primos. Some primos happened to be over there in the area. They were from San Antonio, and they were just, like, visiting. And I was like, I'll ride with you guys, shit. I'll fucking go back with you guys to San Antonio.
Hell yeah.
I rode with them here, and when I got here, you know, I started seeing a lot of family that had moved from Cali out here, like, in the early 90s.
Yeah.
So I hadn't seen them in a while, so I was like, okay, it was dope, you know, like, but a lot of my primos and everybody, like, their interest was not where my interest was. You know what I'm saying? There were people that they had no habits. There were people that all their money went to their ride. You know what I mean? All they do is fix their rides up. You know what I mean? So all my primos had dope-ass rides in a shack house. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, their money was going into their cars. Like, they all had bags, fucking dope-ass rims, sick-ass Tahoes decked out with systems.
Damn.
And that's where all the money went. And when I moved out here, like, I was, like, interested in females, and I was interested in getting high and shit. You know what I mean?
Damn. Yeah. No, honestly, that Cali lifestyle.
Yeah, like, Cali lifestyle and shit. Like, and I was like, man, this is a whole different lifestyle over here. Like, I wasn't feeling it, so I kind of started doing my own thing, you know? Like, and, you know, I got a primo that hooked me up with a job in this little town called Floresville, which is, like, 30 minutes away from San Antonio in the outskirts.
Okay.
And I started working in this restaurant. And when I first got there, you know, I didn't know what the fuck was going on because I never worked in a restaurant. But the only thing I had was ganas. The only thing I had was ganas to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I picked up. They put me as a prep person, so they would give me a list and they're like, "All right, man, like we need you to cut sliced onions. I want you to dice onions, tomatoes, sliced tomatoes, do a zucchini, fucking wrap potatoes in foil because you know it was like a country steakhouse, so we would do like you know baked potatoes and all that. So then. I was like, I was notching that list out like in a few hours, and I didn't know that other cats that were working there were taking a whole day to do the prep list.
Oh, shit.
Then they're looking at me and they're like, damn, this motherfucker's too fast for this prep list. You know? And I noticed that some people were getting mad. I noticed some people were getting mad at me, like, yo, you finishing that shit too quick. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm like, yo, I'm just doing my job, man. They asked me to do this, and I'm going to take care of it. You know, I'm going to handle it.
Yeah.
I always like to be good at what I do, you know?
That's how it is.
Yeah, if you're going to do something, do it right, right?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Like, my mom used to say, el burro trabaja doble, you know?
No, yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting what you're saying, Rob, because, like I said, we've been able to, blessed enough to interview other people, and they say the same thing, you know? They've had, you know, jobs, and all of a sudden, you know, they start doing them correctly, and they start doing what they, you know, because, you know, they're not trying to do that, you know what I'm saying? They do something else, but when they put them to work, they do good, and then, you know, people start not liking it. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I don't, you know. And then
say,
like, what the hell, man? What am I doing to you guys?
Because
you
ain't
doing
nothing. Recognized,
yeah.
People are recognizing what you're doing.
Yeah. What this is, you, like, now they're getting exposed that they've been slacking. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Orale, yep. That's crazy.
People get exposed because then you're a threat. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, oh, this motherfucker's like handling this shit in 2 hours. Now they're going to expect them to do it in 2 hours. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that's
and
true.
And they're over milking it. They're milking it. And it's just, you know, a lot of people like to milk it. And it's sad to say, but in a lot of the jobs here in San Antonio, people milk, they milk it. You know what I'm saying? They milk jobs. I think construction jobs here in San Antonio, where they're taking a whole year to build damn street. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I seen in Cali when I used to live in Cali, they build the street overnight.
Yeah.
you know what I'm saying?
And it's just, I think it's all due to the person, because see, you're a creative person. You know what I'm saying? You're like a go-getter and all that. And some of these people, they don't do nothing like that outside of work. That they just go to work, kick it with some friends, and do that same rotation day in, day out for, you know, years on end.
And expecting that check. Expecting that check. And like, then, yo, get me paid, pay me.
Yeah, and then you get a guy like yourself. Yeah, you get a guy like yourself that you know you're not going to, that's not what you want to do for the rest of your life. You're just trying to make some money to bust the next move or whatever it may be. And you know that that's not where you're trying to stay. So you're like, all right, fuck it, let me do this job. And then you get those type of, how long did you last in that job, Rob?
They bumped me up to doing other better, like other things. And I'm like, all right, let's bring them into the kitchen and put it at work, whatever. Then during those years, like, I saw we were doing double shifts, and a lot of the cats that were working there, you know what I'm saying? They were on drugs, and I didn't know this. You know what I mean? I thought they were just smoking weed. All I did was smoking weed.
Yeah.
And in Cali, you know, the tweak was like really popular, but I wasn't about that life, you know, because I had my oldest sister was stuck on heroin for many years.
Damn.
You know what I mean? And it was just like, I don't want to see myself in something like that, because I knew the consequences of that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but then when I started seeing these fools going into the restroom, you know, all the time, and I'm like, what the fuck are these fools doing? So me, since I was like new in Texas, I kind of wanted to just like, you know, follow what the fuck they were doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, that's true.
So I started doing drugs with them, and just. So I started doing double shifts, you know, like killing it because I was on drugs, on uppers and shit.
No, that's, yeah.
Doing,
that's...
you know, lineas and shit like that.
No,
so then I was like, next thing you know, I'm like, the manager that was there at the time was the one, you know, selling it to everybody.
Yeah.
And sometimes he would give it to you for free if you did extra work. You know what I mean? We're all teenagers.
Yeah, no, yeah.
But that's how he got us. That's how he got us. So then next thing you know, like, this dude gets fired and all that. And then I see that that's not good for me, and I want better for myself. And I was like, man, my parents taught me better than this shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, I'm like, nah, fuck that life.
Yeah.
If I left that, you know, I stopped hanging out with those people that were doing it. You know, I was like, kind of doing my own thing. So then for that year, it was like a year.
Yeah.
For that year, I slacked. You know what I mean? I slacked from work. That same year, my brother passed away. You know, my oldest brother, drinking and driving. Then 7 months later, my dad, you know, he was really depressed and was drinking, like I told you, he drank.
Yeah.
And he died there at home.
Damn.
You know, and then my son was born, my first son. So a lot happened within that year.
Oh,
and that's
when
I stopped doing drugs. You know, I was like, all right, no, fuck this. Like, I don't want to do drugs no more, you know. And I dropped that lifestyle, but I was going through a lot of, like, shit. Especially because my dad. Losing my dad was drinking.
It almost feels like when one thing happened.
Because he was the guy that was running the show.
Yeah, sorry about that, Rob. I said it seems like when one thing bad happens, like another one piles up and another one piles up, and if you don't fight it to get out, it kind of like just covers you. You know what I'm saying? Two tragedies, and in a short period of time, you're like, te cayó algo, te cayó otra, and then next thing you know, you're like, fuck, how do I get out of here? And if you don't fight to get out, sometimes you stay stuck there for the rest of your life. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, and it's exactly how it is, because one of my oldest brothers, he became an alcoholic. You know what I mean? This dude was like, he had a straight job. He was one of the people that he liked to kick on my primos because he was all about his car. So he would fix up his rides, and he turned around. He started doing drugs. He became an alcoholic after that.
Yeah.
And now still right now, this is it's been 13 years since then.
Yeah.
And he still can't get out of it, man. Right now he's in Mexico because he has some cases on him that he if he comes back, you know, he's going to do some time.
That's crazy, bro.
You know what I mean? So he got there. And it sucks to see my brother like that because I love him, man. Yeah. I grew up with him. Yeah. I share all my memories and the struggle with him. You know what I mean? Yeah. And when you see, when you're doing big things like I am at this, and I'm not doing, you know, nothing near where I want to be, but, you know, as far as I've gotten.
But you should be proud. You should be proud of where you're
at. The best feeling.
Yeah.
The best feeling is when you can share with people who have seen you down.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Your loved ones,
you can, man.
Share that with them, man.
That's crazy.
You want to share it with the people that you grew up, the people that you struggle with.
Yeah.
That's who you want to share your success with. You know what I'm saying?
Because that's why you worked hard, right, Rob?
If you can't share it with nobody that's seen you. You know what I'm saying? Like, why do you want to share with these new fake-ass friends
that's
coming
true.
Around? Because, you know what I mean? You want to share with the people that ate from the same plate as you did.
The day one people.
Because that's I bet that's why you push hard for, because you, for your brothers, for your sisters, for your moms, for your pops. Because, I mean, the road that you're on, you know what I'm saying, and everything, you had to find a fucking something or someone to do it for. And I think, you know, everything that you've said up to now, it seems like your family was the thing that drove you, that kept driving you no matter what. You're like, nah, hell no, I'm going to do it for my family, you know? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, family and kids, for sure, you know?
So
now my wife.
Yeah, so all this thing happens to you, and so what do you do after this time? You know what I'm saying? You quit that job, or, you know what I'm saying, you realize, like, hey, this ain't for me. What do you do from there?
So then, you know, I started getting back on it at work, you know what I mean, there at the restaurant, and they made me a manager. So then I became the youngest manager they had there, so I started running the show, and you know, that was my first leader job, like, as a leader, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, okay, now I got to tell people what to do. Like, people twice my age, you know what I mean? Damn. Like, you know, I was kind of, at least 40 people were working there.
Oh,
and
shit.
I had to tell everybody, I had to write their schedules. Okay, you're going to do this. Y a la misma vez, you want, quieres quedar bien con ellos para que no te sientes enemigos. And, you know, as a beginner and as a manager job, you know what I mean? Like, you want to be cool with everybody. You don't want to be like that asshole that nobody likes, you know what I mean? From where I come from, I'm a people person, you know? So I like the people to be on my side. I don't want to be against the people. You see what I'm saying?
No.
And it was always tough for me. It was always tough for me, you know what I mean? Like, so I would let them drink beer after work, and we'll all kick back in the parking lot and have beers after work. So, you know, that I would bond with them, you know?
Now,
you know, over time, I realized that could also bite you in the ass. You know what I'm saying?
So
you got to be very careful, because you learn, you live and learn, you know what I mean? You got to be real careful. You got to separate, you know, work from, you know, from
friends,
from chilling, you know what I mean?
From a friendship.
Yeah, and it's, exactly, yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's just the way it goes, bigger you get.
Yeah, it's almost like a double-edged sword. It's damn if you do and damn if you don't. Like, you have to kind of give a little bit, but also kind of, like, take, you know what I'm saying, to her, like, okay, I'm not going to become your full friend because I'm your boss or I'm your, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you know what I'm saying, we could kick it and we could do this, you know? It's crazy how, you know, how you have to play
the
relationships.
And you notice the change, too.
What was that?
Yeah, and you notice the change. And then you'll notice the change, too. Like, the people start looking at you different. Like, they see you now as kind of as an enemy, you know what I mean, when you're their boss.
Yeah.
You're not. They don't tell you everything anymore. You know what I'm saying? They just start. You know, like I noticed that shit in my barber shops. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like opening up my barber shops. You know what I mean? But we'll get to that in a little bit. But it's just, I noticed the change. You know what I mean? Even with the people that work for me, it's tough, man. Like,
it happens.
Like, your own people won't congratulate you when you're doing something good. Your own people won't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, it's crazy, man. It's tough.
And that's why, hey, Rob, sorry, this is like kind of like with the Rhyme Different, this podcast that we started right here, that's why it was created, so people could hear that other side, because sometimes you look at somebody, like somebody could look at your IG and be like, oh man, this guy fucking gets down, because you are a talented person, but they don't get the chance to hear everything you've been through and who you really are. You know, they're just seeing what you post and all the cool shit you do now and all these cool places you go to now, but they don't even know how or what you even went through to get to where you're at. You know what I'm saying? These things do not come overnight. You know what I'm
saying? Hell no. And I tell that people all the time. I tell people that all the time. Man, I slept in people's floors, man.
Yeah.
I slept in shack houses and garages.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I ate off of dollar menus, you know, for many years. That was like what I was used to, you know what I mean? When I was a teenager, my goal in life, I wanted to be a gangster, man. I wanted to be a G, you know? That's what I wanted to be.
Yeah. No.
I wanted to be an OG. Like, that's, and I saw myself as like, you know, let me have my pad. I get to like drink a beer up in the front yard and that was it, you know what I mean?
Dang.
Like a lot of people respecting me, you know, that was all I wanted. I wanted the hood's respect and that's it. But, you know, obviously when we're growing, you start realizing, like, life is not about that. You know what I mean? Like, life is about making your family proud and having, you know, working hard to live a better lifestyle. Because, I mean, we don't want our kids to keep, you know, we don't want that cycle to keep going. And the kids, you know, they're doing worse than you are because we're sending them failure, you know?
Hey, Rob, do you think that happens because... You know, us, you know, we say us as Mexicans, you know what I'm saying? And our family, like you say, you had 10 brothers and we have relatives, but none of us have gone and did cool shit. You know what I'm saying? We don't have primos, you know, when we were growing up, you know, and it sounds like you didn't, that somebody had did something cool. So you don't have no guidance. You don't have like, oh, I want to be like my cousin. Hey, I want to be like my uncle that's doing this. We don't have nobody that does that, but we do have primos that are gangbangers.
Role models.
Role models. But we do have homies that we look up to that are gangbangers and that are this or that. So we want to be like them, and that's who we grow up to be. That's crazy, huh?
That's our role models.
Yeah.
Can't change that shit, man. And no disrespect to nobody.
No.
But I ain't trying to disrespect nobody. But
no.
You gotta change the cycle, though, man. You gotta be an inspiration in a way where you want people to, you know, our kids want to do good because they see us doing good, or, you know what I'm saying, or be the example for them.
Yeah, and lead by example.
And that's the thing that King Little G, I don't know if you're familiar with who King Little G is. Do you know who he is, Rob?
Yeah, of course, man. I love his music.
Okay, it's the, you know, we were blessed enough, you know, to know the homie and shit. And he said the same thing. We were kicking back and we were having a conversation. And he's like, hey, Tech. He goes, you know, I don't want to put kids, I don't tell kids to go and do, you know, go join gangs. He goes, I did that when I was growing up doing music. He goes, but nowadays, I don't do that. He goes, I am who I am. He goes, but if you hear my music, I don't go tell kids like, hey, go join this, go do that. He goes, because now I know better. And it's crazy, you know what I'm saying? And it's to where where we don't have that role model, but now you know better. It's like, okay, let me not tell these kids to keep going down these routes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, you got to, you know what I mean? It's tough, man, like, in his industry, too, you know, and I've thought about it, too, because it's like, it's tough because I think that also a lot of people around you might have you know what I mean? Like you get influenced. So he might be trying to get out of that. He might be rapping about, I used to do this, I used to do that, and I grew up in a struggle. But then again, all the people that we like his shit, you know what I mean? They're most likely gangsters and shit, so he's around a lot of them, so it's kind of hard for him to get out of that world. I feel like it's kind of bringing him back in that world, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's...
I feel that way because if you see his music videos and stuff like that, his latest videos, you know what I mean? Like, everybody's like blowing kill, getting high, you know, with AKs and just bringing you back to that lifestyle again, but not with money and things, you know what I mean? It's kind of what happened to Pac.
That's true. That's true what you're saying.
And I feel like it's kind of blaming him. And I kind of feel like, I'm like, man, like, this dude, like, he has a chance to get out of it. But then again, you know, that style is dope. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to sit here and gangbang. But I still love the style. You know what I mean? Like, I think, solo.
Yeah, if you ever get a chance to talk to him, he's a real humble person, bro. I've known him for some years. You know what I'm saying? If you get to, you know, one time to chop it up and talk, he's a cool, real cool dude. What's him called?
Yeah, I would love to meet him.
Yeah, no, he's dope. He's going to come out to the Northwest next month. I'll let him know. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's seen you, but I'll let him know that we chopped it up about him, you know what I'm saying, with you and stuff. And so you working in this restaurant, Rob, when did you decide, or what happened? Did you end up just leaving that restaurant and going into like a barber shop? When did that transition happen to where you're like, okay, I'm not going to do this.
Okay.
This is what I'm going to do.
I had a little baby, right? Newborn. Yeah. And me and my kid's mother were having problems and we separated and all that. And and we were, you know, I was trying to get out of the drug, you know, drug using and all that. And I started, you know, trying to, you know, get my own place to live in and all that. So I was basically switching jobs. Like, I worked at the UPS job for a while, like, working with the planes, like, loading the planes with boxes and stuff.
Yeah.
I was really good at that, too, but I was getting exhausted because I had two jobs, so I dropped that job,
okay.
You know? And then I also worked and as a carpenter, like, building pallets and stuff, you know what I mean? Like, rebuilding them.
Yeah.
So I did that a little bit, too. I also worked in a, what's someone call it, in a warehouse work. Like, doing warehouse.
I hate warehouse. And, I've done that shit, man. I hate
yeah. And I used to do that shit like pallets, bro. We used to build, and it was a refrigerator, a carne. It was, we would load up pallets with meat boxes, heavy as hell.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I got a hernia with that. Like, it fucked me up, you know?
Fucking Rob. He's like, I got a hernia.
Yeah, it fucked me up, man. I had a hernia for like 2 years, dog, and I didn't even know what the fuck it was. I was afraid. You know, as Mexicans, we go to the doctor. Yeah. I was like, man, is that a tumor or is it a fucking, I don't know what the fuck it is.
We go to the hospital till, like, we can't walk or literally about to stop breathing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, my dog goes to the hospital and walks as I do, you know what I mean?
Dang. Because we're afraid we might hear something. Hey, this guy, you have this. This happened. We're like, we don't want to hear it right now. We're going to wait till fucking something happens, yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy.
Don't tell me I can't go to work, you know what I mean?
Yeah, put some Vicksy. Vamos a Recio.
Yeah, fuck it. You know what I mean? You just deal with it. Whatever I have, fuck it.
Oh, you know what I mean? I love this, what I'm hearing, bro. That's crazy.
So it's what it was, man. For 2 years, I had this fucking hernia and shit. But look, this is what happened, though. Like, I went in, I was working at this, I got this job at this warehouse, right? So I left that job. I quit the barbershop. Oh, this is the reason why I quit. Now I remember. Yeah. Okay, so, you know, the owner of the restaurant was a gaucho, right?
Yeah.
He was a white guy. Real cool dude. He had a good heart. Real nice. Yeah. I mean, I like the dude. But sometimes when he would get upset, you know what I mean? He would, like, just come out of, you know what I mean? Like, out of place or whatever, you know what I mean?
With little,
I had a brother working for me at the time. My brother that went up to me that's in Mexico and gave him a job back before.
Yeah.
So then he started slacking somehow. He started, not showing up to work and all that.
Yeah.
So me as a manager, I had to let him go.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't want that because that's my brother, man. So,
yeah.
Well, actually, the boss was the one trying to let him go, not me.
Yeah.
But then, once we let him go, you know what I mean? Like, it was tough because I had to make a tough decision, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had to let my own brother go.
Yeah.
And then, but as bad enough, you know, it hurt me that I did that. But then this dude's talking shit about my brother in front of me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then I'm like, nah, hell nah, man. Like, you ain't gonna fucking just sit here and talk shit about my brother in front of me. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, that's true.
So then I finished the job. And even at that, I didn't walk out. It was like a busy night. I finished the job, whatever. I've done the night. I turned in my keys and I told him, look, man, I'm done. I don't want to be here. And I was probably one of the best managers he's had. I was a hard worker.
Yeah.
So he took it hard, man. He got pissed. And he was like, oh, what the fuck? Like, because of your dumbass brother and what it is. And I wanted to fight that dude so bad, but, you know, I was like, you know what? Like, he did a lot of good shit for me, that dude, that white dude. So I was like, you know what? Like, I'm just going to go ahead and just walk around. I'm going to take it as you're upset right now.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to dip out. You know? So I dipped out or whatever, and I didn't have a job, man.
Yeah.
So then my primo was like, hey, man, this is warehouse job I could get you, come with benefits and all that. So I started working at this warehouse work.
Yeah.
So once I'm working there, you know, I liked the job and everything. But there was this one boss over there. He was a bully. You know what I mean?
Oh, damn.
Because I was working graveyard shit. And what I mean by bully is, like, ain't I was used to that shit. You know what I mean? We bullied people growing up. Yeah. That wasn't the problem. But the thing is that I'm over here trying to fucking get a legit job, keep it, and not, you know what I mean, not fuck
not
up.
Mess
up. You
know
what I mean? I just stopped doing drugs. I stopped doing, you know, I'm trying to do right. You know what I'm saying? And then this dude's over here fucking on my shit. You know what I mean? I'm like, what the fuck? So then I'm over here. Like, his name was Baltasar. He was older, man. He was like in his late 30s or mid 30s. I was only 19 years old at the time.
Yeah.
So I'm over here. I got this job and I'm going into work and I was going graveyard. So we work overnight. Well, his brother was the main manager, you know what I mean, of the thing.
Yeah.
So Estelato, he would make caras to people. He'll talk a lot of shit. He was that one dude that nobody liked, but nobody would tell him nothing because his brother was like the main manager, you know? So then I'm like, you know what I mean? There was another manager in the nighttime, which he wasn't the main manager, but he was the manager for the night shift or the graveyard shift. And his name was Victor. And Victor, you know what I mean? He was cool as hell.
Yeah.
So then when I told that dude Baltasar, he basically, you know, they give us a piece of paper, and the piece of paper, they'll tell us, okay, you got to get, you know, 4 pallets of chicken, you got to get one of pork butt, you got to get one of, you know, whatever meat, ribeye, whatever, right?
Yeah.
So then this doctor would just grab the piece of paper and yank it off my hand and be like, all right,
damn.
Go get me that box there. Go get me that, like, trying to be my norm, you know?
Yeah.
And my mentality, dog, you know what I mean? Like, I was always used to fighting, so I'll be like, what the fuck's the problem? Go get your own fucking shit, you know? And then, so then, you know, I walk up to the manager, and I was like, yo, what's up with this dude? Why is he coming over here trying to box me around and tell him to get his own fucking pallet, you know what I mean? And so then, you know, he was like, yo, just blow, like, Tira la Leon, like, basically, like, you know, don't matter what he says, like, just ignore the dude, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm man, like, too many motherfuckers around here ignoring this dude, like, like, he needs to get, you know,
hey, what'd you say, Roman? What'd you say? I'm not gonna ignore this fucker. I'm gonna fucking knock him out the first chance I get.
Exactly, and that's exactly what I told my homie David. My homie David was working with me, and I got witnesses for all this shit, you know what I mean? It's funny because I still know all these motherfuckers.
And it's hella cool, bro, because a lot of the things that you're saying, we gone through it ourselves, or people, when they listen to this stuff on Rhyme Different, bro, they're gonna laugh too, because at the same time, they can relate to it. Because a lot of people, you know, and at these ages, and you know, you're trying to find a way to kind of get out, like, you know, you go get this job, your primo tells you it has benefits, you're like, oh shit, hell yeah, at least it has something, and I'm making some feria. And then you go to work, and there's some dumb asshole right there, you know, just making it hard, and you're
fucking it up. Yeah,
it's like
little roadblocks here and there.
Another roadblock. How'd you, and what happened, bro?
Exactly. And this doctor Baltasar, you know, he would see me, and he thought I was probably some little punk or something. Yeah. I don't know what he thought, but I know he would call me pinche güerito when he get mad at me, because I'd call him out. Yo, get your own shit, man. Y él me decía, tú sabes, you know I could get you fired. He would tell me shit like that. I'm like, man, I don't give a fuck, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? So obviously I gave a fuck, but I would tell him that. You know?
Well, yeah, he has to know, because if he smelled any fear, then he kind of used that. But when you tell him, I don't give a fuck, I'll go get another job, you know? He had to hear that.
Yeah, it's because they're testing you. He was testing me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then I told my homie David, I was like, yo, like, I already went up to Victor, you know, the manager, and he wasn't doing nothing about it. So then, you know what I mean? Like, this dude tells me something, man, I'm going to knock him out, you know? Yeah. Sure enough, man, like, I walk in the next day, Yesterato was walking towards me, and he's just walking by me, but he's mad dogging me.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, I'm just, you know, obviously I'm like looking at him too, mad dogging him. So then he like just bunked me with his shoulder. So then I had a clipboard with my piece of paper or whatever, and I dropped that shit on the floor real like hard and shit. Yeah. I'm like, all right, motherfucker, y'all can talk to it. I was like, I'm gonna kick your ass now, fool. So then he just looked at me and he's like, he didn't expect it, right? So then I was like, all right, well, let's walk out. So we walk outside to the loading decks where the 18-wheelers parking shit. And then as soon as he's looking at me and shit, like, I just, obviously I'm taking the first swing, you know?
Yeah.
So I hit that fool right in the face. Then his eyes just wide up, you know what I mean? Because obviously I kind of grazed him a little bit.
Yeah.
So then his eyes wide up, so he starts kicking me, trying to kick me and shit. He couldn't reach. Está más chaparrillo que yo, so he couldn't reach. I mean, you know, he was shorter.
Yeah.
So then I started hitting. I was so angry, bro. Like, I was hitting this fool so hard. Next thing you know, like, he just drops. I think it was after a few hits.
Damn.
And then that fool drops. Well, I jump on top of this dude. Obviously, I'm the type, you know, that when I'm angry, dog, I'm letting that shit out. I'm a real cool person, but whenever I get upset, you know what I mean? I'm really upset because somebody done fucked my shit up, dog. Like, I'm over here cool stuff with everybody.
You're trying to get yours. You came from a fucked up job, and you have a good job, and you know, everything's cool. Other people are cool, except this one guy keeps fucking with you. And, you know, he pissed you off, and you're like, fuck this guy right here. I'm going to show his ass right now.
Fuck this guy, Sure enough, dog, like, I put that foot to sleep, right? So then, you know, they get me off of him. The drivers, I mean, I ain't hello. You know, they get me off of him.
Yeah.
And then this dude, he's knocked out, bro. Like, he's asleep. So then, you know, he snaps out of it. He gets up, and he's crying. A grown-ass man crying and shit. And then they're like, basically, then Davato was like, I'm going to call the cops on him or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So I had warrants at the time. I had a lot of warrants.
Damn.
So I was like, shit. Like, I got fucking. I went up to Victor, and I told Victor, I was like, yo, like, like, I'm not trying to fucking get locked up, bro. I'm not trying to get locked up. I'm going to go ahead and dip out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then he was like, nah, get the key. It wasn't your fault. We all witnessed. And Esteban, you know, he's the one been instigating or whatever, right? So then I was like, all right, man, I'm going to post up. So I post up. Sure enough, man, the rollers roll up, right?
Damn.
So then I was like, shit. So I dipped out running. I told Victor, yo, I'm out. So I went in through the refrigerators. I jumped through the back to where all the 18-wheelers were. And I jumped as fast as I had fucking barbed wire and shit. and I called my brother. I was like, bro, come pick me up. So I met him somewhere down the street. You know what I mean? And my brother picked me up. So then we posted up for a little while. And then we rolled by. I was like, check out. I had bought this Lincoln. I had a Lincoln Town Car, like a 91. So I had bought it. And it was like, nice, my car. I was like, man, I don't want to leave my car there and shit. So I rolled by later and said the cops already had left. And that dude about the side had left too, you know? So then I talked to Victor. Victor was still there, the manager. Yeah. And he was like, yo, just come back in the morning. You know, I'll talk to the office and people in the office. I'll tell them that, you know, it wasn't your fault so that way you can still have your job, you know?
Yeah.
So then I was like, all right, cool. So then I'm like, all right, I show up the next morning. And as soon as I show up, I see the brother there. So the brother, he tells me, we got 2 minutes to leave the building or I'm going to call the cops on you.
Jesus.
And I'm like, yo, like, I was like, you know what, man? Just give me my check and I'll bounce, you know?
Yeah.
So he gave me my check. So I dipped out and I was always following and shit. I was like, man, I lost a good job.
Back to square one.
Like, yeah, back to square one. So I'm like, fuck. Like, all right, so what I do next, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just chilling at the house and then I wanted to cut my hair. This is all within the next couple of days, you know what I mean? If I could ask how things come, you know what I mean? Like, how things happen. And, like, everything lined up for me, man, because as soon as I left that job, like, I'm chilling at home and I need to cut my hair. And then my neighbor was like, hey, there's a barbershop down the street. Yeah, they cut really good hair.
Oh, damn.
Then I was like, all right, well, fuck it. I'll go check it out, you know. But I was used to cutting my own, so I was like, fuck it. I guess I'll go to the barbershop. So I walk into this barbershop, and it was already in the evening. And there's this vato, like, wearing tight-ass jeans with the
officer. Like, tight-ass. Like, that's crazy.
You know, this dude, like, I'm talking, when I mean tight-ass jeans, are like, this motherfucker was wearing tight-ass jeans.
You seen the amount of change he had in his front pocket, or what?
Right, La neta, you can see his wallet like poking out and his fucking back pocket. So Esteban, he was a paisa, you know, he was from Mexico. So he had his ostrich belt with ostrich boots, and he was watching a movie of Vicente Fernandez. So I was already liking the vibe, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, man, this is dope. It's kind of, it's a dope little barber shop, you know, it's a Mexican shop.
Yeah.
But Esteban, when I walk in, he was like, yo, ya no estamos tomando clientes, you know, we're not taking no more clients.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh man, pues nada más, like, me querían cortar rápido así el corte, you know, like I wasn't gonna get anything too crazy and shit. So then he was like, what are you gonna get? And I was like, I'm just gonna get like a one on top and, you know, a fade. So he's like, all right, I got you, man. But he told me in Spanish.
Yeah.
So then I was like, all right, cool. So I sat down and then I'm watching this dude cut. And like I said, he's all, you know, he was like a narco and shit, you know, gold fucking bracelets and. He had all his rings and shit in his hands and, you know what I mean? Like, boots and everything. So
that's
then,
crazy.
You know, Esteban was doing sick-ass things, man. He was doing edge-ups. So edge-ups, I was used to seeing edge-ups in Cali or, like, lineups, you know?
Yeah.
I hadn't seen Texas yet. So then when I saw this dude, like, doing those, when I was next for the last fight, and I asked him, I was like, yo, where'd you learn how to do this shit? You know what I mean? Like, your face is sick.
Yeah.
And then he was like, no, I went to school on the east side called Negritos, you know?
Oh, like,
I went to school in the east side with black people, you know?
And, yeah.
But he didn't really know English, so he only knew Spanish. And he told me, yeah, my family, you know, we have a chain of barbershops called Acapulco's here in San Francisco. He said, there's about like four or five shops.
Yeah.
And he said, and we all get together and we like go out and have like carne asadas. And, you know, it sounded dope, you know,
job.
I was like, man, it's a job. And then he was just like, yeah, man. I told him, you know, I come out here and like, I never come to barbershops, but I appreciate, you know, getting me, taking me, you know, as a client. So he was like, yeah. I was like, me dijo, no, pues, ¿sabes qué? And he said, in 2 months, I'm going to pass this barbershop to a primo of mine, and I'm going to move to Houston from Texas, which is 3 hours away.
Yeah.
And then he was like, all right, well, he told me like, pero, ¿sabes qué? I need somebody to help me out cut hair in here. You can even come in and help me out. And I was like, shit, for real? Like, I don't even know, like, nothing.
No,
like,
resume,
I need to come
no
in. I need to go to school to it. So then he was like, nah, man. Like, he's like, he's just going to help me out for like a few months, and that's it, you know?
Yeah.
So then, and then I was like, yeah, what happens when you leave? And he's like, well, my primo's going to bring his own barber.
Shit, yeah.
I was like, all right, well, I was like, that's cool, you know. I was like, fuck it. But I had no clue about barbering, like what tools to get or nothing. Yeah. So then I show up with these Walmart clippers and shit, you know. And then this Vato laughs at me. He looks at me, you know, and it, first of all, he tells me, like, damn, you came. You know what I mean? And I was like, well, of course, you told me to come back, you know, so I came back. And then he was like, all right. So then he starts laughing. He was like, all right, well, we got to go get some better tools than this.
Damn.
So then he takes me to Sally's, and he buys me everything out of tape, neck duster. He bought me a cepillo, a comb, shears, and I'm all that shit. So then I see how they have their little station set up, and he tells me, all right, this is where you're going to cut hair. He said, at the end of the day, if you make the money to pay me back, just pay me everything you made, you know what I mean? Like, or whatever, for the tools.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, fuck. So I start cutting hair, and I only know how to get paid. So anytime an old school walks in or somebody that has long hair,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Normally, anybody that was young was for sure getting a short haircut.
Yeah.
This is 2006, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So nobody was getting, like, long haircuts or nothing like that, or long hairstyles on top. Yeah. So then, you know, I was like, man, I'm losing out on money because I wasn't doing no scissor trims or nothing like that. So then I started watching what they were doing. They weren't the type to help us out. So I had to kind of, you know, start learning on my own, gotta watching what they were doing.
A little bit every now and then, kind of just, you know,
meet out. What was that?
Exactly. To peek over, like you would peek a little bit, like, oh shit, okay, that's what happens.
Okay, I see him spraying with the bottle. I see him using the comb with the fingers. Okay, I'm going to try that out, you know? So I started learning, watching what they were doing and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I became a natural, man. I picked up real quick on everything, you know? I started. So next thing you know, like I'm doing all kinds of fades, and everybody's coming in, and I'm like, man, I'm liking this money, you know, because it was cash money. And they were taking away 50% of what I was doing. But I was cutting there, and I was like making pretty good money, and I started getting myself back on my feet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So at the time,
you were not at that point. Remember, you were not missing that warehouse at all, right, Rob?
Hell no, I was not missing that at all. It was an easy ass job. I was like, man, this job is so cake, man. Like, this is like dope. Like, I couldn't believe it was even a job. You know?
Damn. That's crazy.
The only thing I didn't have was people skills, man. I was used to working behind the scenes.
Oh.
When I was watching, like, dealing with people, I was new to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, damn, like, customer service. But the thing was that I was always buena gente. You know, I was always buena gente with people. So back and requesting me, like, oh, I got to get my haircut with this dude because he's cool, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I feel like, trust me. None of the other barbers would talk to their clients. They would just cut their hair.
Oh, I see.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So me, I would talk a lot. I'm always, even in school, like, that was always a problem. I was always that kid getting called out. Hey, correcto, stop talking in class. You know what I mean?
Because
I was always talking with everybody. Like, growing up, I always had friends for that same reason, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, like, that shit came in good in the barber business. Like,
being
friends with people.
Yeah.
Because I saw people as, like, I started relating with them, you know what I mean? Like, yo, so what do you do for a living? And, you know, I was just talking to people, having regular people conversations.
Yeah.
And that, like, people, when they see me in the streets, they would always, like, oh, what's up, man? Like, that's my barber. He cuts my hair, you know?
Yeah.
And to me, it was even weird to hear that. It was weird for people to say that's my barber, or that I was a barber. Like, me, for a little bit, I even told myself, like, man, I'm a barber? Like, I thought it was that good, you know what I mean? I was like, that's it? Like, I thought a good title was doing construction, a good title was doing, like, man work, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that shit was, like, a good title. Like, I wanted to be proud for building, you know what I mean? Not proud for cutting hair. Like, I didn't think that was something to be proud of.
Because I think that job, you know, it wasn't always popular. It was kind of, like, more, like, girls cut hair, you know what I'm saying? It was
stylish,
So that's why probably some of the guys that were doing it at the time early on, you know, they wouldn't lift up their, you know, levantarse acá tough and
they're
be like,
getting tied down.
Yeah. And so that's what probably felt weird for you.
Yeah, and even my brother, man, like even my brother, I tried to get him into the business because he used to cut his own hair.
Yeah.
And I would tell him, hey, come and cut hair, man. They said they'll give you a job, you know. I was trying to get everybody jobs and shit. I've always been that way, you know. Like, check it out, man. Like, we need somebody. Like, yo, you should start cutting hair, you know. Like, still to this day, I tell people that. Like, yo, you should start cutting hair. It's good money. But my brother was like, nah, it's just tajotos, you know. Like, he would always try, like, that shit was he thought it was a feminine job, you know, like a job for girls and shit. Like, and I'm like, man, if you only knew the money I'm making, I'd tell him, you know. And he never, like, he still to this day, I'm still trying to convince him to cut. He don't want to cut. I think by now he's not going to cut.
So
you know.
So
but hey, check it out. So, like the second month working there.
Yeah.
This kid walks in. He was like a mulatto. Like he was mixed. You know, like half Mexican, half black.
Okay.
I remember this dude walking in, man. And he was like, "Hey, I want to get a design. You guys do designs." So then I was like, "What the hell is a design?" You know. So then he was like, "Yeah, it's just like drawings on lines, like on the haircut."
Yeah.
So then I'm like, "Man, well, I mean, what do you want?" And then he was like, "Well, I want to get just like a little swirl coming off the top of the edge up, you know?"
Yeah.
Like a part. You know what I mean? So I was like, "You know what? What?" So then I was like, "Yeah, I could do something for you, man. I'll do it." You know. So then I grab these trimmers. You know, and they have a T-blade on it, and I was holding it, you know, like a pen or whatever, and I draw this curved line coming off the edge of it, and it came out nice.
Yeah.
But then when it came dub, like, people were like, "Oh, shit, like, that should look really good," you know. I even impressed myself. Damn. I was legit, you know. So then next thing you know, it's like that kid brought me another kid and then brought me more kids, and then I had kids just walking in, like, "Yo, just fill up my whole head. I don't care what you do. Just do whatever."
Damn.
So I started doing freestyle. Started doing stars, swirls, and I didn't have a role model to say, "Okay, I see this dude do designs." And the barbershop that I was at, nobody did designs, you know? So I was the first barber that was doing designs out of that shop. So me, like since I can't draw, anytime that somebody brought me something, they're like, "Hey, can you do this on my head? Here's a picture of my baseball league logo or whatever," you know, I'm like, "All right, fuck it." You know, I remember that year the Spurs, the San Antonio Spurs, they made it to the finals. So I started doing Spurs logo on people's heads.
Yeah.
And man, that shit, one day, no lie, I did 22 Spurs on one day.
Shit.
I was so popular, bro. I became so popular in the neighborhood because I live in the south side of town in San Antonio, which is, you know, a lot of Mexicans, and nobody would do designs there. Like, most people that did designs were the negritos, you know?
Yeah.
Black people were the ones who designed. So the Mexican had to travel to the east side to go get a design on
their
head.
Which was a drive.
Turns out that I'm such a good artist, you know what I mean, that I was doing a great job, and I didn't even know I was doing that good. I was just like, okay, it looks good, but I didn't think I was that good, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I started hearing it from everybody, like, "Oh, shit, like, this motherfucker's good, like, look at his haircuts," you know what I mean? And I'm like, okay, well, I just went along with it because it became business for me.
Yeah.
And I remember I was, at the time, I couldn't even shave my head. I used to shave my head because I dressed up, you know, I was dressing Jeep at the time still, you know? I had baggy-ass pants with 4X t-shirt, 3X t-shirt, you know what I mean? Yeah.
You look like Little Rob, the barber.
Pretty much, man. Have you seen my old school videos?
No, not the old school video. I seen some pictures, and I seen you G'd up, bald head, I think you had posted them somewhere in your IG, because I was digging through
videos.
It. What was that? Go ahead.
I have videos on YouTube, my very first videos I did in 2008.
Yeah.
And they're called Paint My Haircut, like Paint My Ride.
Oh, okay, okay.
My haircut, and actually you can see the very first portrait I did. I did that. It was caught on video.
Thank you for joining us on another edition of Rhyme Different. Rhyme Different.